This is the time of the year where final touches to plans are being made to enjoy the Christmas season. And as 2020 draws near, and thank you, Jesus, for that, plans are being considered for the upcoming year. Plans are important. And although I can be spontaneous at times, I tend to be the kind of guy who likes a good plan, as I think most things turn out better with a good plan. But with that said, experience also tells me that things don't always come together as planned. Things don't always turn out as we have planned. Almost 40 years ago, Trish and I were on our way from Corpus Christi, Texas, to Central Illinois. We were young, newlyweds in love, and we were going to spend some time at my grandparents' vacant farm for our honeymoon. I'm a big spender. I had worked all day before hitting the road, and we had driven for many, many hours. It was well past midnight. Trish and I were dog tired, and we were looking for a place to stay, any place to stay, a Motel 6, a Motel 3, a Motel 1, it didn't really matter. We were just that tired. We had planned to spend the night in a small town in eastern Texas that we were positive had some lodging for us. But let me tell you, things did not go as planned. We took the exit into town looking for a place to stay. As we were driving towards the center of town, we noticed a large group of people, maybe 30 or so, gathered in the middle of the street that we were on. It's now probably 1 or 2 in the morning, and it looks like they were involved in some type of meeting or rally in the middle of the street. And what got our attention was that some appeared to be dressed in long robes. Hey, you laugh now. I wasn't laughing at the time, okay? So I'm stopped. Trish and I, we're stopped at the intersection, okay? And we are the only car in the area. And we are looking at this crowd of people who just so happen to be looking at Trish and I. I don't know if I had mistakenly drove up on a KKK rally, or we had driven up on some religious cult gathering. We don't know. But I knew for sure I wasn't going to stick around to find out. I recall making a right-hand turn at the intersection to get out of town back to the interstate. This is no joke. No joke. Every time we made turns to get away from those crazy people, we ended right back at that same intersection staring at those crazy people. It made no sense. This happened several times, and I was thinking this had all the makings of one of those scary horror movies like Children of the Corn. I'm thinking, this is a Children of the Corn movie, and Trish and I were those two stupid young people who were going to die that night. That's what I'm thinking, right? You seen that commercial where the four are running and they go into the shed and the guy's standing behind them? That was us. That was us, the two stupid white young people. We were going to die that night. That's what I thought. It was crazy. Eventually, thank God, we got out of town. And we drove far, far away with this new burst and surge of energy. I wasn't sleeping anywhere. I mean, it was, oh my. So that crazy experience, and although we laugh about it now, okay, was most definitely not part of any plan that we had envisioned for our relaxing getaway to the farm. Okay? It wasn't on any of our honeymoon agendas anywhere. I think there is a natural desire in most of us for things in life to make sense and to fall in place as we have planned. But sometimes they do not. There is a common saying that goes like this: if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Sometimes our plans, even though they may be great plans, are not necessarily God's plans. And God has this habit of changing our plans to his plans. And sometimes, according to God's plan, there are major unexpected events that redirect the course of our lives. Sometimes there are unplanned circumstances beyond our control that dramatically change us. Last week, we looked at one such example involving Lazarus and his wife, Elizabeth. If you recall, Zacharias was in the temple performing his priestly task of burning incense, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a priest. But then he got this surprise visit from the angel Gabriel. And bear in mind, up until that point, there had been 400 years of silence. So this was surely an unexpected surprise for Zacharias. Anyway, Zacharias got a baby announcement from Gabriel that in his ripe old age, he was going to be a dad for the very first time. His wife Elizabeth, who had been barren all of her life, is now going to bear a son. And he will be called John, who we call John the Baptist. This was great news for this elderly couple, especially Elizabeth, who goes so far to say, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Elizabeth had endured disgrace in their Jewish culture due to her inability to have children. But now she feels favored by God in her old age. The truth was, even though she was barren, Elizabeth was in favor with God. She just confused God's favor with God's timing. And that's an easy mistake for us to do as well. Don't assume God has abandoned you. Don't assume that God does not care for you. Don't assume you have fallen out of God's favor because God's plans and His timing are not in sync with your plans and your timing. Don't make that mistake. Now, if you remember the rest of the story, Zacharias wants a sign from the angel Gabriel due to his lack of faith. So as a sign, Zacharias gets to learn his version of sign language because he's no longer able to speak. He becomes mute until John is born. Having a baby at this time in their lives was all part of God's plan for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Even though I feel confident in saying that having a baby was not part of any plans they had made for themselves, right? Those plans were long, long gone, years ago. But as I said, God has a habit of changing our plans to His plans. So this morning, we're going to continue to work our way through the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, where the angel Gabriel is not done making baby announcements. And yet, once again, he reveals another one of God's plans to an individual who I imagine had completely different plans. Now, our passage begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. However, I want to read the first four verses of Luke. Okay? The first four verses of Luke. Are you there? Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. I wanted to start there for an important reason. I think it may be easy for some to consider the Christmas story and those events leading up to the Christmas story as being similar to a fairy tale. Like a Golden Book story that begins with once upon a time. But what we see described here in this passage is a thorough, careful, accurate and deliberate investigation conducted by a very educated and driven individual, Luke, who was a physician. So the story I am about to read is a real story with a real angel and real people, real places during a real time and real events. Okay? So with that said, let's jump down to verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And get into the real story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let's stop there. 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, God took the next step in His plan of redemption and salvation, and He sent the angel Gabriel to the village of Nazareth to deliver another birth announcement. Nazareth was this obscure, insignificant little farming village in the region of Galilee, well off the beaten path, with a population of only a few hundred people at that time. The village was so obscure and so insignificant to the Jews in that region that it explains why Nathanael later asked his brother Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" when he learned that Jesus was from that village. So Nazareth was this little village in the backwoods, in the sticks, so to speak. Yet, according to God's plan, the angel Gabriel was sent specifically to this place to speak to a virgin named Mary. Now, Mary was an ordinary girl who at this time was likely a very young teenager, somewhere around the age of 13 or 14 years old. Okay? That's young. She is a normal girl, and just like any normal girl, I imagine Mary grew up having the same dreams and the same plans that other normal teenage girls had had in that culture. Dreams and plans of marriage, having a home and raising a family, just like her mother and her grandmother before her. And Mary is already moving in that direction as she's betrothed to a young man named Joseph, who's a righteous man, a carpenter in the family line of David. Betrothal is what we would consider an engagement today. But it's more than that. In those days, after the two families negotiated and made arrangements, girls were usually betrothed to their grooms soon after puberty, somewhere around the age of 12 or 13. The couple were pledged to each other in a formal ceremony. And this pledge was legally binding. In essence, they were husband and wife, although they could not live together as husband and wife, and they could not have sexual relations with each other as husband and wife until the betrothal period had ended, which in this case was usually 1 year. So for all practical purposes, Mary seems to have a good plan, a sensible plan, a realistic plan, a plan that's already set in motion, a plan that she could fully expect would come to pass. It seems that Mary has got it all figured out. But as I said earlier, and I will say again, God has this habit of changing our plans to His plans. So let's see what happens as we continue our story with verse 28. Verse 28, "And coming in, He said to her, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.'" Mary is apparently alone in her parents' home. And just like Zacharias in the temple, poof, the angel Gabriel shows up. And he greets Mary by calling her favored one. That word favored implies that Mary has received God's undeserved and unmerited grace in a special way. In other words, she's not favored because of something she has done. She's not favored because of where she is from. She is not favored because of her age. She is favored because God has singled her out because He wanted to single her out. She is not favored because she has passed some kind of religious test. God has simply singled her out because He wanted to. His favor rests upon her, and God has graciously chosen to use her in His plan. Gabriel tells Mary, "The Lord is with you," which was often said in the Old Testament to individuals who were called to some great task by God. For example, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, God told Moses that He would be with him when given the mission to bring His people out of Egypt. In Joshua 1:9, God told Joshua He would be with him when entering into the promised land. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, Gideon is told by an angel that God is with him before he led his 300 into battle against an enemy of 135,000 fighting men. Mary is no different, and neither are we. The words, "The Lord is with you," are words that we need to always remember, especially when God is in the process of changing our plans. Well, understandably, this unexpected visit by the angel Gabriel and his choice of words were startling to Mary. We read in verses 29 and 30, "But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So the highly favored one of God is also a confused and troubled one. Mary's not sure what to make of the angel's words. She doesn't know why she is being so greeted so honorably. But Gabriel understands this, and he repeats his reassuring and comforting words to her. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And then Gabriel shares the birth announcement with Mary, beginning with verse 31. And to say it's a doozy is an understatement. Listen to this birth announcement. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. That's a crazy birth announcement, isn't it? So Mary, congratulations. You're going to be a mother. Your baby will be a boy. And you will name him Jesus. And oh, by the way, just so you know, he is the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah that you and your people have been hoping for. He is the King. Not a king, he is the King who will ultimately rule forever. Oh yeah, one more thing. Elizabeth is having a baby too. And she's got a six-month head start on you. Well, Mary, as you imagine, is trying to take all this in, and no doubt this is overwhelming for her. She's a young teenage girl, and she asks this question: how can this be, since I am a virgin? And Gabriel answered her and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." I read an interesting comment by Warren Wiersbe about this passage. He said the word "overshadowed" is applied to the presence of God in the Holy of Holies in the Jewish temple. The same word is applied. In a sense, Mary's womb became the Holy of Holies of sort for the Son of God. What a gracious honor for Mary. Now, some have questioned why Zacharias was left mute for 9 months when he asked Gabriel for a sign after receiving his birth announcement about John. But Mary receives no consequences for asking her question of Gabriel. The answer is actually fairly simple. Zacharias lacked faith and wanted a sign to determine if what Gabriel said was true. Mary, on the other hand, accepted what Gabriel said as being true. She simply needed clarification as to how it would happen. Her question was about the how, not about the if. Do you see the difference? In regards to the virgin birth, I know there are those who doubt it, even those who profess to be Christians doubt the virgin birth. but I have no difficulty whatsoever with the virgin birth of Jesus or any other miracle mentioned in the Word of God. If you can accept the first four words in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God. If you can accept that, if you can accept that God created the very first man without a father or a mother, created him from the dust of the ground, then you should have absolutely no difficulty accepting the virgin birth of Jesus whatsoever. Now, shifting to the idea of God's plans. There is something said here that's really striking in Gabriel's announcement. You know, as a preacher, when I'm reading a passage, I will look for commonality in words. Sometimes the repetition of a same word, it kind of gives emphasis. This might be important, right? Did you notice the certainty in Gabriel's words? You will conceive and bear a son. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. The Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. These promises are going to happen, Mary. They will happen. They must happen. And oh, by the way, nothing will be impossible for God. When Gabriel makes this birth announcement to Mary, I am sure that Mary had a pretty good idea that her life would not continue as she had planned. Her plan, although a good one, a sensible one, a realistic one, a plan already set in motion, was not even remotely close to the plan that God had for her. Although Mary was favored by God and the Lord was with her, we know she would have many difficulties and painful sorrows ahead of her. Mary is going to become pregnant, which would be very hard to explain to others. What do you think her parents thought? The same thing you would think if your daughter came to you and said, "Oh, I'm pregnant and the Holy Spirit overshadowed me." They would think the same thing you would think. Am I right? And what about Joseph? Joseph could have divorced her. In fact, he was considering doing that very thing if it weren't for an angel who spoke to him and set the record straight in a dream. Mary could have been whipped or even stoned to death for allegedly committing adultery. And we can only imagine the gossip in Nazareth. We know that King Herod becomes jealous of the reported birth of the Messiah and slaughters all the boys 2 years old and under in an attempt to kill her son Jesus. And Mary and Joseph had to flee some 200 miles into Egypt only to return to Nazareth after Herod died. Mary was a widow. Did you know that? Mary was a widow. And we know this because on the cross, Jesus asked his disciple John to care for Mary, his mother. We don't know when she became a widow. But the last time we hear of Joseph, the last time was when Jesus was 12. We don't hear about Joseph after Jesus was 12. And Mary was there when Jesus died. Mary watched her son be wrongfully accused, publicly humiliated, literally beaten to a pulp, and horribly crucified. Mary personally witnessed this and could do nothing to help him as a mom. Mary did not know this was in store for her. She was not given these details of God's plan by the angel Gabriel. What she did know was that she was highly favored by God and that the Lord was with her. During the Christmas season, we are reminded that we are highly favored and that God is with us as well. We know this because God sent His Son into the world and would later pay the ultimate price to prove His love for us. We also know that God has His own purposes and His own plans, and sometimes His plans collide with our plans. We're told in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Does this mean that we should not make plans? We should make plans. But we need to be willing to adjust our plans and even abandon our plans altogether as God reveals His plans and His purposes for our lives. And how did Mary respond to the message from Gabriel? Look at verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You know what Mary did there? Here's what she did. In essence, she took a blank sheet of paper, signed her name at the bottom of it, and gave it to God and said, "You fill in the details." That's what she did. "Here it is. I've already signed it. Let it be done as you desire, according to your plans. I've already signed it." Isn't that? That's what she did. That's what she did. Can you do that? God has this habit of changing our plans to His plans. And maybe you have been handed something that you did not expect. It was not part of your plans, any of them, and you're trying to understand it all. But regardless of what you are facing, regardless of what you are experiencing, like Mary, just like Mary, trust Accept that you are highly favored by God, that He is with you, and determine in your heart that you will seek God's will and trust that He has a much better, maybe not easier, but a much better and rewarding plan for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are sovereign and that I am not. I don't know why, Lord, I don't trust you like I should. You have proven yourself over and over and over and over again. And still, I have doubts. Lord God, forgive me. Father, help us to be like Mary, where we just sign our name on the bottom of a contract, an empty blank piece of paper, and let you fill in the details of our life. Father, help us to do that. Help us to trust you, Lord. You're in complete control. Even in the chaos, in our circumstances, even in our difficult situations, you're in control. And we can trust you. And Father, those times where it seems like you don't care, when it seems like you're not interested, when it seems like your thoughts are elsewhere, Father, remind us that you sent your Son for us. And some 30 years later, you would give your Son for us. What more could you do to prove how much you love and care for us? Father, help us to trust you. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this morning, that's why I got a headache. There was something that Jesus said. You remember when John the Baptist was in prison? He was in prison. And John the Baptist sent his messengers to Jesus to ask him, are you really the one, or should we look for someone else? Remember that? John was going through a difficult time, right? And so Jesus sent a message to, told the messengers, you go tell John this. And he gives them this message to report back to John. But after they leave, then Jesus says this: Blessed are you who do not take offense at me. Blessed are you who do not take offense at me. That's what Jesus said. What does that mean? There are things that God will allow in our lives. There are things that He might do that might offend us, that might anger us. I can't believe you did this to me. Right? Yeah. That's what he's saying. Blessed are you. When things don't go your way, when things don't go as you have planned, don't be offended by me. Instead, trust me. When Jesus sent those messengers back to John, John is the cousin of Jesus, right? And Jesus told his messengers, you go tell John this. Because they're asking, should we look for another? And Jesus says, you go tell John this, that the blind receive their sight. Go tell John that. Go tell John that the mute can now speak, that the deaf can hear. Go tell John that. Go tell John that the dead are being raised. Go tell John that. Jesus is quoting this passage from Isaiah. But in this passage in Isaiah, Jesus left something out. Jesus, who knows Scripture better than anybody, left something out to go tell John. You know what it was? I will set the prisoner free. John was in prison. Jesus didn't go tell the messengers that. John would stay in prison and he would die in prison. Things didn't go according to John's plans, right? And Jesus says, don't be offended at me when things don't go as you have planned. And boy, are we so prone to do that. How dare you, God? How dare you let this happen to me? So prone to do that. God forgive us. God forgive. It's just a matter of trust, isn't it? We have to trust Him. That's what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. I just got to trust Him. And I'm not going to trust anybody if I don't know them. If you don't trust the Lord, that probably tells me you don't know the Lord. Simple as that. Simple as that. So I hope the Lord spoke to you this morning. I don't know how. Maybe it wasn't through me. But I just pray you be obedient to Him and respond as the Lord leads you. Maybe you realize you don't know Him. Just been going through the motions, going through the church motions. But you really, really don't know Him. He knows you and He loves you. Maybe you're looking for a place to belong to, a church home. Or maybe there's something else. I don't know. However you feel led, just respond. Glad you all are here this morning. Let me pray for our offering. Just a reminder, the offering baskets are in the back. I don't think we are... I'm not sure if we're still doing Lottie Moon or not. I know a couple have asked about it. I guess if you still want to give to Lottie Moon, you could probably put it in the basket and we'd make sure it gets to the right place. So let me pray for our offering and then Larry will dismiss us. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord God, we just want to honor and we want to just to lift you up. Father, help us to have a heart of praise for you. Father, I know we can trust you. And Lord God, I just pray you would just help us to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. Give us a passion. Give us a zeal for you and for your word. May you be honored and glorified. Father, I pray for our offering this morning. Lord God, I just pray that you would help us to give with a cheerful heart, that you bless the gift, bless the giver. Father, I understand this is your money. It is not ours. And Lord God, give us the wisdom and the insight and the discernment as to how to spend your money. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.